Well, I spoke to my friend Professor Price. So he told me everything that I needed to know. He said I shouldn't worry about bumping anybody off, which I think is great. You know, make sure that I take, well, I am OCD, so make sure I take a shower for the shower game. I want to make sure I'm not a little bit too loony or a little bit too toony. And I need to make sure I'm on the spot, I'm off the spot, but on the nose.
If you know, you know.
Oh, wait, that was my secret ex. Hold on. Come here, buddy.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net.
Survivor, the Decalor Islands, will not be heard at this time, so that we may bring you WLTI, which is blasting off again!
This is Gordon Pepper, and I am waiting for Survivor 3 Mile Island.
No, you're not.
No, they made a movie about that. That's called 28 Years Later, isn't it?
Yeah, they made a sequel to that movie. Yeah. It was just okay.
What about Survivor La Brea Tar Pits Island?
A little too sticky for my taste.
How about Survivor Escape from New York?
Whee!
That's cool.
I was thinking Survivor Bermuda Triangle.
Well, there's that. Well, this week we had a new Netflix documentary that I sat through the 3 hours of.
And that made you a better person.
No, it did Maybe. Not.
Oh, okay, fine.
No, it did not. We have the finals of the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament, which are still going on as we record this. A political drag race, a little NASCAR, no Masked Singer this week.
And we have some. We have the full Monty. Real full Monty.
Yes. But, and of course,
well, because Jason is too modest to say that he's celebrating a birthday, we're going to have some fun with Jay and a papaya hat. And if you are loyal members of the show, you know exactly what that means. But what this means is that we need to start.
So that's what the delivery I got a few minutes ago was. New Panama.
Yes. Ah. Exactly.
Well, why does it have why does it have a certain show's buff on it?
Because it's going to be the Survivor edition of Ask Dr. J. But before we get to that, we will get to this. From somewhere in Jason Block's mind, this episode of We Love to Interrupt is on. Let's go.
Whee!
I have just completed my 58th turn around the sun. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy. This is 5 and 1's We Love to Interrupt. And I am here with my brothers and two of my best friends, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. Hope you are as always. By the way, happy birthday.
I am. And we're starting this week a little differently. It's not about game shows. It's about England. Thank you, Whammy Gordon. No, this week we are. Oh boy, this week we are starting a little bit differently because this week Netflix dropped a documentary called
Reality Check.
Inside America's Next Top Model, or as you subbed it, we need to talk about Tyra. So it's very interesting because due to the COVID pandemic, a lot of people revisited America's Next Top Model, and well, it didn't age very well, Chico.
No, it didn't. I also had the pleasure of watching this, and yes, it is. Some of the stuff that they mentioned, you kind of had a feeling that they were going there, and well, they, for the first time in 20 years, they came out and said it.
Yes, but according to some people, this documentary wasn't enough, and the one on March 11th on E! Is going to be the real documentary, if you, quote-unquote, real.
This documentary is pretty much long on behind-the-scenes stories and short on accountability. Nobody's taking ownership of anything. If anything,
it felt a lot like, well, you followed everything before, you're not going to see anything new here. What you really want to see, in the words of Chico, and he's right, accountability, behind the scenes, gossip, scandal, drama, you're not going to find it. The only stuff that is, that you're going to find is appropriately enough, rerun flavored.
Yeah, and
so,
here's the
meh.
Right.
My grade, and I'll just go into it right now because the less time we spend on this, the better. My grade is meh.
It was absolutely meh because Tyra Banks came. No one came off good in this. No one did. The only person who came off good was Miss J because of their health issues. Okay. It's really sad because he had a stroke a few years ago, and according to him, allegedly, Tyra hasn't called or visited, which makes sense, sadly.
Yeah.
And okay. Allegedly.
Everything you see, everything you hear us discuss over the next 5 or so minutes is alleged until and unless evidence proves it. That being said,
can we just make this from 5 minutes to 10 seconds?
There you go.
Especially because
we're going to be
doing something based on that on E, and you know, I don't really even want to. Meh.
Yeah. A grade meh. Let's go.
We'll revisit this when E comes out with its own and do a little compare and contrast. But right now, Jay? Right.
Basically the same thing I said 30 seconds ago, yes.
Yes. Yeah, right now, this ain't meh. Mr. Gilbert.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
We have finalists!
Okay. No, it's not the finalists. Yes, we need to get to them first.
Just as like we have finalists, but before we get there, we need to figure out how we got to there.
Right. So on Friday's game, we have Drew Basile, Jen Giles, and Roger Giles and Roger Craig. And at the end of Final Jeopardy, we have end of Double Jeopardy. Excuse me. Roger has 18-4, Drew has 14-8, Jen has 4-8 with the clue of Saints.
Drew Brees.
No, different sip. Saints. Bell, please. Thank you. Mentioned several times in a 1599 play, this patron saint of cobblers had a feast day that coincided with the Battle of Agincourt. Jen gets it wrong. Drew gets it right, and Ken says, yes, the famous Saint Crispin's Day speech from Shakespeare's Henry V. Drew bets nothing. Even if he would have bet anything, Roger gets it right, bets correctly. He's into the final.
Yes.
Monday's game, Chico.
Monday's game features Allison Betts, Andrew He, and Matt Imodio. This is going to be a battle for the ages. I can feel it. Well, so much for my feelings. Matt has 19,200. Andrew has 13,600. Allison has 2,600. No spoiling unless Matt does something weird. Final Jeopardy category is Men of Religion. The Clue. In a 1660 book, quoted Mary Queen of Scots as saying she feared this man's prayers more than an army of men.
This one I did not know, but some people did. We'll get there. So Allison bets nothing, bets nothing, and says, these guys definitely won't bet at all. It won't. That trick won't work again. So Andrew bet says, who else thinks the best season of Jeopardy was? And then he bets 38, which was his season. Which, by the way, was the right call. Because Matt gets it wrong and says James the First. By the way, it was the Protestant John Knox.
You are correct, James.
He bets 8,001. Matt's bet was incorrect. Well, it was correct, but didn't help him. So Andrew He sneaks his way into the final. Tuesday, Drew Goines, Karen Farrell, and Long Nguyen are playing. At the end of final, it's anybody's game. 15-8. Aaron has 10. Drew has 12 for this clue in writers. Winner of 3 Pulitzer Prizes in 2 different categories, he called his home in Connecticut the House of the Bridge Built.
Who is Ben Ingram?
Okay. No, wrong bridge. Let's go. Okay, so Karen says nothing and pretty much bets everything. Drew thought it was AG, and he was wrong. Okay. Long gets says, who is Wilder? Not Gene, but Thornton, as in the Bridge of San Luis Rey, our town, and the skin of our teeth. Long gets it right. And we are in our finals mode. First to 2. So the games could end as early as tonight. But
yeah.
Yep. Go for it.
Let's talk about game 1 with Andrew at 16,400, Roger at 10,600, and Long at a short 2,000. Final Jeopardy categories, American authors. Here's your clue. She wrote the foreword for a 1971 cookbook sponsored by the Jackson Symphony League.
Well, I actually thought what Andrew said, which was Fanny Flagg. It wasn't. Neither was Maya Angelou, which Long said, or Harper Lee.
It is the other It is a southern based female author. On any of those. It is the author from Jackson, Mississippi, Eudora Welty, who I had the pleasure of reading in my freshman year of college.
Okay.
So Andrew holds back and gets 1 match point. He only needs another one to win, which brings us to tonight's show.
Will Andrew seal it? See. So after Double Jeopardy, we have Long at 21-6, Andrew at 12-8, and Roger at 5-2. Okay. So Roger. Oh, the clue, by the way, is World of First Names. Just to let you know, here's the clue. Here's the answer. Like an English language one, this German first name of a physicist of sound and a 1980s film director means serious. And Roger wrote, and I quote, which I love this, I hope Long writes Ernst. Which is a question, and B, Chico, the correct answer. Okay? Because it is Ernst Mach, as in Mach 1, you know, that sort of thing. And Ernst Lubitsch, the director.
And also Ernst Stavro Blofeld, one of the most evil villains to ever come from the James Bond universe.
Okay, so Andrew gets it wrong, bets 12,733 to leave with 6-7. Okay, Long gets it wrong too. So at this moment, it's Long 1, Andrew 1, Roger 0 with Game 3 tomorrow. If either Roger or Long win, they get their spot in Jeopardy Masters. And B, if not, we end playoffs on Monday, and then regular play will definitely start on Tuesday.
Yes.
I believe.
And that, so Friday is going to be one to watch. If Roger wins, this will all be decided on Monday. If Andrew or right. Long wins, they get the crown. However, speaking of things that are happening this week, I voted this week. And if you're in North Carolina, I hope you voted too. Why am I bringing this up?
This is why.
Okay, so we are in the thick of primary season for the midterms, which means we are in the thick of primary season in Drag Race, and we have Drag Queens for Change, where we have five teams of two debating several propositions.
Okay, so the propositions were divided, for example... Proposition C was debated by Jane Don't and Kenya Pleaser. Okay? The C stands for clown reform. That C should be added to the, for clown, should be added to the LGBTQIA acronym. So that would mean the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, or queer, intersex, asexual clowns.
Not okay. That there's anything wrong with that.
No, okay. Proposition double D's for Juicy Love Dion and Mia Starr. A mandate requiring all drag queens to wear padding. How can I say? Can I say those words? No, boobs. Fake boobs.
Fake boobs.
Lace fronts. Okay. Yes. Anyway. Next is Proposition 4 Real, okay? A proposal aiming to ban social media and look queens, forcing them to interact in person. I like that one. Okay.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. Next, all right. Proposition 6969.
Nice.
Aim to outlaw foreign trade.
Okay. And... Proposition key. Oh, by the way, that was debated by Athena Dion and Mikey Meeks. And Proposition Kiki, Discord Adams and Nini Coco, a proposal that would outlaw queen on queen sexual relations or Kai Kai? Or Kiki?
Kai Kai.
Okay.
Kai Kai is correct. Yes.
And this was in a serious, silly way. Okay. So then the the runway category is I Can See Right Through Ha.
I can guessing see right through Ha.
Okay. Arlene Mitchell, Jane Don't, Mikey Meeks were positive. Mikey Meeks won the challenge. Juicy Love Dion, Mia Starr were in the negatives, and Mia Starr became stage. Juicy Love Dion and Vita Von Tess lip sync to Houdini, and Juicy Love Dion won, and Vita Von Tess star in a bit of a surprise. Goes away. But Gordon, what did you think of this? Did they use politics in the right way?
Sorta, kinda. I think their heart was sorta, kinda in the right place. I think they could have either gone a lot harder or a lot weirder or softer, and they did neither. So, I don't know. For me, the theme this week is meh.
Okay.
It could have been a lot better.
The next 2 weeks are going to be insane. Because this week's episode is Snatch Game of Love, Island Edition. Okay?
So they're basically smushing up three shows. that right. game. And then Love Island.
Right. Then Fanny, Hard Knock Ball Rusical is the week after that. So here we go. That's big.
I can't wait for that. Meanwhile, I cannot wait, and I know you can't either, for this. All right, it is the grand finale of NASCAR week, and we have our three finalists teaming up with three NASCAR racers. Cindy Carrick, who won $63,100 on Monday, is teaming up with Joey Logano, the only active three-time Cup Series champion. Tiffany Gottschalk, who won $53,498 on Thursday, is teaming up with a winner of four Cup Series races and the $1 million All-Star race in 2025, Christopher Bell. And Ray Kaysen, who won $72,950 on Wednesday, is teaming up with 20-year NASCAR vet with over 230 top three series wins and two Cup Series championships, Kyle Busch.
And it comes down to Cindy and Joey, who absolutely dominate everything. Okay?
Yep.
They win $33,645, including
a trip to Italy. Right.
So
Poggio is Poggio Estate and Farm in Italy.
And she's going to the Daytona 500 this past week, which was run by a guy named Reddick, who is owned. The team is owned by some guy named Michael.
Tar Heel in the house.
Yes. So she picks What Are You Doing, and she didn't get waffling for an extra $50,000, but she gets $110,641, including the trip to Daytona. She gets the confetti anyway. And again, Gordon, this is how the tournaments this year, which was the DraftKings with our friend Chorzy, and this, they've been really good and using the themes very well.
Yeah, I really like what they did with this one, by the way. So, yeah, absolutely.
The trips were related and the puzzles were good. Again, another great tournament for Wheel. So
I agree.
Finally, we go to Eastland in Riyadh. Remember last week that there was $1 million left? Everyone was buried alive?
Yeah.
So what happens is that they're taken to Riyadh, and they have individual pods. They have a red phone, which is placed in the center of the room. The players, there's six 30-minute rounds to determine which six contestants will advance to the final game. And by the way, now the $1 million have been brought back into play, given the opportunity to bribe one another for votes.
Yeah, and okay. That the name of the episode is Bribe Your Way to the Finale.
Okay.
So
the first person to go through is Tyler, which is with $100,000.
He didn't have to use any money.
Right. Next is Hannah. Okay.
She uses almost all of her money.
Yeah, well, she actually uses all of her money. She got with nothing.
Oh, wow.
Zero. Okay. So Jack leaves with $40,000. August is on to the finale with zero. Corey has $17,133. Now, the final person, okay.
All right,
but who was the sixth person? Well, we'll have to find out in the finale next week.
Okay, what we know. Here's what we know. Katie is voting for Brett. Jim is voting for Monica. Monica is voting for Jim. And Brett is voting for Nick. So Nick's final vote.
So everyone has a vote. Is that right?
Yes. So Nick's final vote will become the deciding factor. If he votes for Katie or Jim, I believe that is game for God, nobody.
I told you, he has to put everyone voted for everybody else, right?
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Repeat it again.
Katie is voting for Brett.
That's
Jim
one.
Is voting for Monica.
That's another
Monica's
one.
Monica's voting for Jim. Brett is voting for Nick. Nope, we are tied at one, people.
That's what I just said, right. That's right. And then we will have the final six, and the coin is gone, right? Someone will win $5 million.
August, in his pitch, claims he knows Monica sold the $10 million coin, so that's out of play.
So, right, okay.
The $10 million coin comes into play as a bargaining chip to, to garner support, which apparently works because August is one of the final six.
Okay. All right. So that ends our opening round. Okay, I'm actually going to make sure the Panama hat is nice and fresh out of the box, because I'm going to be answering some Survivor-related advice questions in round three, as Ask Dr. Block will be here to answer this is my birthday wish, and usually fun stuff happens. But first, Chico.
But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including more stuff coming on Survivor next week, and stuff that will involve you, especially if you like Words with Friends, and if you still like Words with Friends in 2026, good on you.
Hey, good.
With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, 6-5-1. You're home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we will give you 22 different dances that Jay will no longer be able to do because he's too old.
Oh, definitely the Running Man.
You can't do the Cabbage Patch anymore.
No, I actually can't break anymore, which I actually used to do back.
Oh,
in the
I
day.
Believe it. I believe it. Get
that
on.
Was actually a damn good break dancer.
Hey, get
for
on
real.
That. Get
no
on
joke.
That cardboard in the middle of Bed-Stuy. I totally believe it.
No, more like in a John Dewey High School gym. So yes.
We will be right back.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
WLTI has been brought to you by Sing Along with Scratty. That's right, Scratty the Rat is picketing the WGA as well as other places. So, in honor of that, and the Masked Singer, because we haven't had anything with the Masked Singer this week, Scratty and friends will be singing such wonderful job classics like Take This Job and Shove It.
Take this job and shove it. I work.
Ain't working here no more.
That sounds exactly like what the Scratty Choir could sound like. But wait, there's more. What about 8 days a week? Because, you know, in the WJM reality shows, that's what it feels like.
I don't know the lyrics to that
one. Ooh, I need your love, babe. Girls, you know it's true. Hope you need my love, babe, just like I need you. Hold me, love me, hold me, love me. Ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days a week. That's not how it goes, but whatever.
And finally, who can forget Loverboy's Working for the Weekend? Because you will be working on
weekends. For the weekend.
Everybody's working.
Everybody wants a new romance. Hey, 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 hey. Everybody's going off the deep end. Everybody needs a second chance. Oh.
Now, this has officially gone off the deep end. That is Sing Along with Scratty featuring Jason Block and the Scrat Tones. Coming to a strike center somewhere near you.
You want
and maybe the next time.
Which actually, Gordon, leads us into this. Hit the cue.
Well, I can't hit the cue until Gordon says the thing.
That beautiful green planet.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morse. As always, you can follow Doug Morse on all social media, Doug Morse Games at Rock 104, Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. And don't forget to listen to Doug Morse's Rock Tracks show. He broadcasts from high atop his palatial Pine Belt Estate on WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial, Rock 104 for Rock Tracks. And, of course, that's along the Pine Belt, all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app. Okay, got a lot to talk about. We talked about Scabby the Rat. Why is Scabby the Rat up? Well, I can explain that.
Yes, business.
Okay, so first of all, let's have an amuse-bouche. Well, actually, this is pretty much the amuse-bouche because there's a lot of things going on Fox this spring. But first, let's talk about Scabby the Rat. With dozens of union staff picketing outside WGA West headquarters on the corner of 3rd Street and Fairfax in Los Angeles, a place we know all too well, the Writers Guild staff union, representing 115 of the 160 guild employees, went on strike this week after repeatedly accusing WGAW management of unfair labor practices as the group sought to negotiate its first contract, including unlawfully firing a member of the organizing committee. The union staff organized last spring and have been bargaining their first contract with management intermittently ever since. What this means?
Do they ever bleeping learn? Do they ever bleeping learn?
Yes, they do. From Missy Brown, co-chair of the WGSU Bargaining Committee, our last bargaining session was February 2nd, and there just wasn't any movement from management. Staff union leadership had a little sidebar meeting with management. They just basically were like, we're not willing to do anything else. The WGAW, for its part, released an updated side-by-side comparison of both parties' proposals and counterproposals and denied any wrongdoing. In a memo to members, leadership also assured the rank and file that preparations for the Guild's upcoming MBA negotiations with the major Hollywood studios would continue without a hitch.
Gordon, what's going on here? Is this posturing, or is this they haven't learned.
Oh, it's clearly they haven't learned. So, probably a little bit of posturing, but definitely they haven't learned.
Yeah.
And again, when you look at it, this can get real bad in a hurry.
Good, good.
So, we shall see.
And again, but I have to ask this. How many times can these unions strike before people go, you know...
I'm over it.
I mean, people are... And I will say this. People are legitimately worried about AI. Because remember, there has been... most of the movie studios have been very upset about the... ByteDance 2.0 AI bit. Remember with Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
I mean, it's called Seedance, Netflix, Warner Brothers, Disney, Paramount. They're all upset. I don't know if it looked good, but, you know, they got people
right,
worried.
I can tell you right now, it is not a good look. Like, at all. But there you go. There you go. And here we go, where we talk about Fox, hence this baseball bat, which looks like a searchlight.
Da-da-da. That's right. The Fox spring schedule is out, and...
It's got... Okay, we've got a couple of our favorite games and something with a lot of balls. The floor will return with a special 2-hour season 5 premiere on April 8th, where contestants compete.
We need to go back just a touch. Wednesday, March 25th will be the Fear Factor season finale. April 1st will be the season finale of The Masked Singer. Then we get to The Floor.
Yes. And on April 13th, which is Monday, we have the season premieres of The 1% Club. Yay. And The Quiz with Balls. Meh.
Yay. Meh.
Meh. It's not as good as one. I like the 1% Club. I actually tried out for the 1% Club, and the fact that they're putting on the new season without me says all I need to know. Anyway. And then we wrap up.
Chico need a hug. Chico sounds like he needs a hug.
Yeah, I need a hug.
Aw, Jay, go give him a hug.
You're squishing me.
Hey, I give good hugs. What do you want? Okay.
Hey, this is.
Oh, you all. And also, April 15th is the season premiere of MasterChef season 16. April 21st is Farmer Wants a Wife season 4. And the Next Level Chef season finale is May 21st. So that's on Fox. But that's in the future. This week. Oh boy, what a busy week.
Well, the Olympics are coming to an end, which means it's a brand new beginning all around. Isn't that right?
Yep. Gordon, you sent me the date book. LOL Columbia is the season finale is Friday. Saturday is the season finale of Love Island All Stars. After the Olympics, The Voice Battle of the Champions. Okay. And Wednesday, good grief. Beast Game season finale, Survivor 50 season premiere, The Greatest Average American premiere on ABC, Traitors UK on Peacock, House of Villains on Peacock, and the Traitors season finale on Peacock. That's a lot. So yep. We need to go that app though.
About Survivor in that last segment. Well, CBS and Zynga are teaming up to bring Survivor into the hands of the fans with mobile game partnerships tied to the 50th season. We're talking about games including Words with Friends, Zynga Poker, Two Dots, Farmville 3, and Dragon City.
Okay.
Zynga's integrations are designed to reflect the Survivor's signature mix of strategy, competition, and puzzles. Words with Friends will spotlight word-based challenges inspired by the show. Zynga Poker will host watch events tied to weekly episodes. Two Dots, Farmville 3, and Dragon City will each introduce limited-time challenges, themed rewards, and season-long events aligned with the series. There is also, Jason, pay attention,
I'm looking at it now, actually. Yep.
Poker Sweepstakes, offering players a chance to win a trip or two to attend the live Survivor 50 finale in Los Angeles.
Nice.
You can look online for that. So, yeah, all in all, smart moves are getting even smarter because Survivor is red hot again, I think.
Well, we'll put it this way. It's red hot because of the number. Let's see where it comes from. Where it's not about Survivor 50. It's about Survivor 51.
That's true.
I understand.
That is true. But right now, we'll take our smart moves when we get them.
Oh. This, not so smart. Good grief.
Oh, hey, you know what the Streisand effect is, right?
No.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Well, it's an event. Well, the Streisand effect is basically trying to divert attention away from something by calling attention to something. Case in point, Nicole Curtis from last week. If you remember last week, she got the Dumb Decision Award last week when a tape of her leaked using the you-know-what word.
Using the N-word. Let's just go there.
Yes.
Okay.
And she has apologized, but rather than just moving on with her life, she has put a post up on her phone. Okay. This is her post. She is claiming that she's being extorted. I was not... I was not contracted to any network or show, think free agents in sports. Any crew hired, paid by me, the footage is mine. My crew didn't steal my footage. I don't have sets. I own all my properties. In other words, no one is my boss. I'm the boss. I create product, I sell the rights of it, and my likeness for limited contracted use. Someone personal, not crew, had access, demanded money, I didn't pay, here we are.
Okay, Rob. This is moo poo on the level. Why don't, okay. And okay, yeah, I am rubbing my face going, why don't you just take responsibility for being an idiot? The people who get media apologies, okay, 9 times out of 10, they don't take responsibility when you,
Hey, all I can say is, even if you are being extorted, if you're not a horrible person, you don't need to worry about being extorted. If you don't say the word, nobody can hang the word on you.
Bingo.
There's no trick to it. It's just a simple trick.
Well, what's also a simple trick is drinking Haterade.
Haterade! Okay, so we had the whole WGAW fracas in the Haterade, but this is just, we can't ignore this particular story, which is still playing out, that Netflix is giving Paramount 7 days. That's it.
That's right.
Because we haven't had enough of this so far.
No. Enough of this? What are you kidding me? But yeah, it's like, okay. It looks like everybody just wants this to end. And Netflix, who already has the agreements, the handshake agreements with Warner Brothers, basically says, you know what? We're going to give 7 days to allow everybody to move on to fully and finally resolve the matter.
All right.
And then there's a cast member of Love is Blind suing over sexual assault claims made online. And again, all of this is alleged. But Steven Sunday filed a lawsuit on February 10th in Franklin County Common Pleas Court against a woman who accused him of sexual assault on social media. He says in the suit he has been suspended from his job with an insurance agency as a result of the woman's posts.
Unfortunately, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Again. Again, this is an allegation, and if it's a false one, I can see where no one wins this one. Big. Like I said. If.
Yeah, we shall see.
Yes.
We shall see, but we will. But where are we sending Nicole and the negotiating team at Netflix?
We're going to send them to Italy and Sweden, but first let's send them to England.
I'll play the happy.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
Okay.
By the way, the actual song Hold My Hand by Jessica Lynn is awesome.
It is a great. Bomb. Okay. Now I'm going to play the bad sound.
Rains! 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 Rains!
Reportedly, ITV will not option for season 3 of Jeopardy UK.
That's sad.
It is.
Because it was good. It was good. It wasn't.
It wasn't great. It was, but it was serviceable. I mean, it did the trick. Had a little bit of Stephen Fry talking during the game, but you know that's something that could be fixed. But yeah, I mean, it's like even bad Jeopardy is better than no Jeopardy, but. I guess the UK, it started strong but faded fast, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but what else is next?
Next is a trip across the channel to the continent where we have two new countries who are getting their very own versions of the 1% Club. Sweden's SVT and Italy's Mediaset are signing up for their own versions that will take it to 15 territories worldwide. Of course, we have the German edition, 4 seasons, the original UK version, it's midway through its 5th season, Antena 3, 2 seasons. France, the French version is breaking records. Israel has commissioned its 3rd season, and of course, Fox's 3rd season will start later this spring. By the way, we also have a digital extension on smart TV platform Game City for the 1% Club, and a Nintendo Switch version is coming soon. So if anybody asks, you heard it here.
Okay, that's cool. We shall see, but we need some worldwide media pros for this.
In this week's media pro reports, babies all of the babies.
I'll
explain. Ian Sterling, the announcer of Love Island, and his girlfriend Laura Whitmore, the former host of Love Island, they're having their second baby. Cody Caligiuri from Big Brother and his wife, they're having a baby. Nick Viall and Natalie Joy, they're having twins.
Speaking of twins, Nicole Frenzel just had them, I believe.
Babies! You know what that means?
Prepare!
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Continuing, Katie Thurston considering a double mastectomy in her cancer fight. Being Gordon Ramsay released on Netflix. We should probably have a review of that next week.
Yes, we should.
Yes. Ben Bailey resurfaces in a new kind of cap for parenting.org.
That was pretty fun. Fun commercial.
Very fun commercial. Mary Jo Young returns to American Idol 5 years after her top 24 bid. Brooks Nader suffers from food poisoning mid-flight. And Richard Dawson was almost the host of The Tonight Show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Almost. But none of them are your pro of the week. And it's a pro that you all chose. Jelly Roll, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Chrissy Teigen did not have a hand outside of just critiquing. Because usually on Star Search, they will make their scores. That's half of the situation. Audience scores the other half. Well, in the finale, we have only you, the audience, choosing the winner. And it's a magician. TJ Salta, congratulations. You have won the hearts and minds of Netflix viewers the world over, as well as a check for $500,000.
This ain't coming back for season two. This isn't. I don't see it anyway.
I don't see it either, because this finale was supposed to take place on Wednesday, and it ended up taking place on Tuesday.
Well, I don't think one has anything to do with the other there. But here's a bigger question. What was the eyeball quota?
Let's look at my Netflix account, shall we?
Sure.
Because I love my Netflix account. I still need to open it once in a while, but I love it just the same. Oh, the new Night Court's on there. Anyway, your top 10 as we are recording. 10, His and Hers. 9, Being Gordon Ramsay. 8, Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich. 7, Cat Williams, The Last Report. 6, Bridgerton. 5, Some More Chandelier Fly. 4, The Lincoln Lawyer. 3, The Hunting Party. 2, Love is Blind. And 1, Reality Check Inside America's Next Top Model.
I don't see Star Search in any of those, do you?
I do not see Star Search either.
Well, there you go.
It's what it is.
So that, as they say, answers that. And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
I'm shutting down and heading to the island.
And we will see you on the island, because we have a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
So we will be
we'll get to that after this. WLTI has been brought to you by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels.
I thought you were going to help me.
I am, because sometimes, Chico, you're beyond help. Like the North Carolina Tar Heels. Yeah.
Now. We had one person who was sick and one person who was injured, okay?
But did they win?
Against State? Hell no.
There you go. That is Kentucky Fried Tar Heels, Ramsey's Dirt. Anyway, that is a help for Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. But I have some help for Jason Block because Chico was nice enough to get him this lovely present.
Didn't
you, Chico?
It's an island. And hey, if you step on the island, music plays.
Wow, that's you guys went all out. I mean, the background green screen is like fire and torches. It's like the it's the place where you vote.
Yep.
The tribal council.
Yeah,
that's it.
We tried our best this year, Jay, and because of that, we have a survivor version of Ask Dr. J. Since it is your birthday, I believe Chico shall be starting. Shall you not?
I am starting. Okay, are you ready?
Right. Sure.
Dear Dr. J.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. J. I've been known as one of the first villains in Survivor history. I have not received my invite to play in Survivor 50. I really want to show all of these upstarts who the real Queen Bee is. And that includes that lady from the 2-6, Sandra. Seriously, she'd be nothing if I wasn't at the table first. Signed, Jerry M.
Ooh, okay. Hello, Miss Peanut Butter. Nice to see you. I do remember you. You did quite well, and yes, you were one of the OG villains. Yeah. But again, it's all about space and time and sadly recency bias. You could do, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 different Survivor shows with different combinations of different players. You would have been welcome there. Lots of people would have been welcome there. And by the way, smooth or crunchy. Signed, Dr. Plot.
Did Jerry Mandy even do the whole peanut butter thing, or was that somebody else? I'm pretty sure it was somebody else.
I'm pretty sure not only did you get the candidate wrong, you got the season wrong.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because if we're talking peanut butter chocolate, it wasn't her.
It was Heidi and Jenna, not Jerry.
Yes, it was.
It's the lady from Extreme Dodgeball. If you can dodge an immune.
They stripped naked for it. That's right. Okay.
But you know what? This is okay, because we're having a frank and lively discussion about Survivor history. But
all joking aside, Jerry Manthe would have been an excellent choice to be there. For real. You agree, Gordon?
I do. It would have been fun. Though I'm also sort of thinking, you could have gotten someone from that same season in the form of Amber Perkich, which I think would have been just as fun because she's actually won a Survivor. And a husband.
Uh-huh.
And other things.
Right. Yep.
But I got something for you, Jay.
Go for it.
Dear Dr. Jay, there has not been a good... There's not been a good fashion forward contest on Survivor. So why not have one, and you can use the animals as decorations for the unconventional challenge, because you're no longer eating them, you may as well wear them. What do you think? Signed, L.A. Roach. See what I did there?
Yes, I did. L.A. Roach. Yeah. Well, I think there have been a couple of faux runway challenges over the years in Survivor. However,
mixing
Bug Couture, I believe. Yeah, this is what you're looking for.
Yeah, mixing Bug Couture and Survivor. Who knows? It could work. Signed, Dr. Block. You know what? You know, you have the palm fronds and you do something like that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, they have had challenges, especially back in the day, where you were supposed to get a helicopter's attention.
Yep.
So, but no, yeah. Bug Couture.
Actually, you know what? I actually got one I want to read. Okay. I want to watch. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I know you may have six. You may have a bonus one, but this one is kind of interesting. Dear Dr. Block, I first visited the island earlier this year to hang out with my mentor, Jeff. It was kind of fun, and I decided to stick around to actually help Jeff out with some Survivor challenges in this year's season. Do you think I actually have a future in this? Signed...
You know what, let me guess. James from MD. Greenville.
Yeah, James MD. From V. Yeah. Yeah, James from Greenville. Yeah. Well, James from Greenville, you got a little starstruck on your own show. But your style is different than Jeff's style. Be you. Being you is actually done yourself quite well for yourself. You got a hot woman, billions of fans worldwide, and actually one of the most successful reality shows on TV. Keep doing you. Signed, Dr. Block. So what do you think of James from Greenville?
Oh, God, I think he has more money than God and he really doesn't care what I think. But that being said, I think he stands to learn a lot from watching Jeff do his thing, and I really hope that he takes this moment to take in from a master of the genre and hone his craft. Gordon, your thoughts?
I think he'd be a really good host. You know, I'd be really interested to see him host something that's not Beastscapes or something on Mr. Beast.
I
think
we
do fairly well.
All right.
Okay.
What's next?
Okay, now we have Jimmy from New York has written a letter here.
Uh-oh.
Dear Mr. Scratch that out. Dear Dr. Block, I haven't had much of a jam to. And I haven't had much of a password to pass along. But I have had time to watch Survivor as a celebrity fan. How would you suggest that I contribute to the... Oh, you tried to write Zeitgeist, but it's obviously misspelled. Sorry. Any advice would be appreciated. Signed, Jimmy from New York.
Jimmy, you're involved in this this year along with Billie Eilish and others. Stay the fan. Be the fan. Contribute from where you are, because you are a very good game show host, a very good talk show host, but just stay in the lane that I think you are most successful at. Signed, Dr. Block. Now that actually leads into something quite interesting.
Go on.
We remember we talked about Mr. Beast, Billie Eilish, Jimmy Fallon, and others. Is this going to be a help or hurt show down the road?
As long as it doesn't take away from the game, and as long as it doesn't take away from the show, it'll help. But if it takes, but if we get to the point where it starts to take attention away from the game and onto whoever's over there, that's when it starts to go wrong.
I think, as I said earlier, I think it's really going to depend on how they handle it. And certain things, this could either be really cool, really hokey, or really a disaster. So, we shall see. I've got one.
Okay.
Dear Dr. Block.
Yeah.
Or shall I call you Jay? Dear Dr. Jay. How do you think my grandmother is doing right now? Signed, Johnny Fairplay.
Well, that, all joking aside, that particular moment was one of the most historical moments in the history of Survivor. The fact that his grandmother lasted, I believe, a lot longer. I think she passed away a few years ago. I have to check myself.
I believe you are correct, sir.
Okay. She actually passed away a year ago. In February of 2025 at 90, 22 years after Johnny Fairplay said it, to the point where she actually had a DEADGMA license plate on her car. Okay? True story.
True story. Never reading it. True story.
Johnny Fair, that was actually one of the best one of the best villain moves in the history of the show. Your grandma's dead, but you're still alive in our hearts. Signed, DuPlac.
All right, I got one more letter here.
Okay.
Dear Dr. Block, I am the only one from the original 16 to compete on Survivor 50. And I'm worried about coming across as an old. How do you handle it? Signed, Jenna.
How do I handle being old one day at a time? And that's how you should do it here. It's going to be very interesting because of the old heads versus the new heads as to what to do and how to do it. Because it's going to be very interesting to see what we can do, what the old people can do as versus to the new generation. So, you do you. Okay?
Okay.
You do you. Signed, Dr. Block. Now, may I ask some questions about the show itself, just a thing? One specifically, because it is sort of like early predictions here, okay? Remember, two-thirds are new heads and one-third are old heads, correct? Something to that effect? 18 out of the 24, I think?
Yes, that's the number we came up with.
Okay. Is an old head or a new head going to win? And why?
That's really hard to figure out because some of the old heads are, you know, they're great and they've appeared on multiple seasons. I know three could count as both an old head and a new head because she was in Panama and she was in Game Changers. And if memory serves, she's one of the oldest castaways at 54.
I have to look.
So, it all depends on how the game is played. But this is one of those things where it's going to be almost impossible to determine who wins out of a certain demographic because the game is always changing. And it's going to go absolutely bonkers this season, if you ask me.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to see. She tied with Chrissy Hollback at 54, being the oldest. Enderman coach Wade is 53, and Mike White is also 54 as well. We actually have the tribes if you're interested. On the Vatu tribe, Aubrey Bracco, Q, Colby Donaldson,
Kyle Fraser, Angela Keeley, Stephanie Legos, Kendrick. And Genevieve and Rizzo from Survivor 49. Over on the Kahlo tribe, we have Charlie Davis, Tiffany Irvin, Chrissy Hofbeck, Camilla Carcechu, Deanna D. Valadares, Coach Wade, Mike White, and Jonathan Young. So they are mixing old heads and new heads on each tribe. And on the Scylla tribe is Rick Devins, Siri, Emily, Christian, Joe, Jenna, Savannah, and Savannah, who won Survivor 49, and Ozzy. So yeah, there is a mix there, which I like. It's not imbalanced.
Sounds killer.
I think your winner is going to be someone of twofold. Number one, someone that has learned from their mistakes. Number two, someone that's actually there to win the game. And you'll find out very quickly which department every single survivor that's playing fits into.
Remember, Wednesday, February 25th, is a three-hour season premiere for Survivor 50 in the hands of the fans. Also, remember the Paley Center on Tuesday is doing a Survivor retrospective as well. And they are doing the clues right now. I believe New Jersey was the Stone Pony. I'm just trying to see if we have the New York one yet. There are only a few states left that for the Idol Hunt. At Survivor50Challenge.com. 43 have been claimed. Okay. There are only one, two, three, four, five, six. There are certain that are open, certain that are ready. The clue, our New York State clue comes out the 22nd. Texas, California, I believe this is Illinois is left, and Louisiana on the 21st. And the only one that is open right now, I believe, is Mississippi or Alabama. So, yep, there we are. So, and Survivor players have been at all of the locations. So it's been fun.
Yep.
It's been fun. So,
it has
been. And by the way, thank you very much to all the Survivor people who wrote. And again, Survivor 50 in the hands of the fans on CBS and Paramount Plus next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Check your local listings.
All right. We've got a break, and then we've got the speed round coming up right after this here on 5 at Once. We love to interrupt. Let's go. WLTI is presented by Love Kings Island. Yes, it's a dating show, and yes, people are going to play musical rooms, but let's be honest, you haven't been on a date until you've ridden the Beast or the Bat. That is Love Kings Island. It's the greatest love story to ever come out of Ohio. That's
okay.
That includes this season of Love is Blind, mind you.
Uh-huh. But with that, we start a speed round, and we will do that now. RuPaul's Drag Race, who is Snatch Game going to hurt or help?
I think it's going to hurt the queens who are not into kitsch, who are more into fashion, because they could dress the part. But Snatch Game has always been about delivery, and the comic queens have always delivered. So that's what I thought. Gordon?
yeah, I'm gonna agree with Chico on this one. You're supposed to make people laugh and to entertain, and we'll find out very quickly who does that.
Jeopardy Invitational Tournament, does it go 3, does it go 4, and who wins?
I think, you know what? I think Roger wins on Friday. I think we get a deciding game on Monday.
And are you going to pick anybody?
Andrew.
Okay. I'm going to pick Roger, actually, to win back-to-back.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mr. Craig as well.
Okay.
Survivor. Give me the first eliminated.
Mike White.
Ooh, okay.
He's gonna find his. He's gonna find the White Lotus, and he's gonna fall into a pit of despair or something. I've never seen White Lotus before.
I actually think they're gonna pick off a winner. Any winner. Don't care which one, but I think a winner's leaving. Because if they're smart, that's what you do.
That's true.
I agree. You pick a winner, and there's been a lot, so.
Okay. Wheel of Fortune, $1 million winner?
No. Okay. No, not at all.
Beast Games.
Oh, it should. Beast Games. Oh, I'm going to pick a winner, and I'm going to say, I'm going to say Nick. I like Nick in this case.
I think Tyler has a really good mental game. Give me Tyler to win.
Okay, I'll go with Tyler.
Okay. Do we have any mail? I guess not. But hey, if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. And of course, we are on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I'm at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am GSNN Haterade.
And the network is at 5-1, where you talk about anything and everything network-wide. I know we are currently... in the midst of a sort of shortage of shows on 5-1, WLTI's last episode. It is almost done. It will be done in due course. Obviously, if you're listening to this one, it means the last one is finished. The BS Big Show, we are on a break until April when everybody goes drafting. We'll see if Fernando Mendoza's career is over before it begins in Las Vegas. And we'll also talk about...
Give him a chance, man. Stop. Stop, dude.
What?
Really?
What? Did you listen to the... Oh, wait. You said that the flush was the Giants or the Jets. Never mind. Anyway. But, yeah, that is...
I'm bringing your meds over. So while I have the meds over, let's talk about what else is going on in the 5-1 universe. Starting with the panel, we're starting to look at Mega Bowl. Unholy Alliance is over, and we have a new Northeast Heavyweight Champion. Guy Poor put it on, won the belt.
And the NAWC will be back this Friday, Saturday, excuse me, I believe. And we will be talking about the road to Elimination Chamber next week. And who or what is in the crate that just got delivered to WWE? And no, it's not 1,000 copies of 2K26 with Punk on the cover. You know?
I was thinking E.T., the Atari video games.
No. I have an idea of who I think it is. Because a certain someone just got off tour, but again, we'll see. You know? It could be... They
will
could
he
do
be in a
Goblin
Eater outfit?
Oh, God, I hope not. But, of course, that is the NAWC. Chico, did we talk about it was a thing or no?
No, we've did got you? 4 new episodes this week. The first dropped Tuesday. It was Strike It Rich. That is the 80s game show with Joe Garagiola. Then we have a Presents episode where Greg and Mike go over Super Bowl 60, and then Greg and Dane go over the Wrestling Observer and awards, and oh gosh, a lot to say about that. Then on the Squared Circle Time Machine, they go back to TNA Against All Odds 2010. We have the 8-card stud tournament to determine the number one contender for the TNA World title. AJ Styles faces Samoa Joe for the TNA Championship, and Eric Bischoff is the special guest ref. And because it's just after midnight, we have a new episode celebrating the 100th birthday of one Leslie Nielsen, Police Squad in Color.
Oh, great show. Great show.
Yep, all 6 episodes. Gonna be a fun time. Surely you should enjoy that.
And don't call me Shirley. Anyway, what's happening next week, sir, as we end February sweeps?
Next week, we crown a champion on Jeopardy. We get the hands of the fans on Survivor. We go to Snatch Game of Love on the Island. We crown a champion on Beast Games. And we review Being Gordon Ramsay and The Greatest Average American. I'm guessing that's going to be a very mid show. But intentionally mid.
Like average.
Intentionally average. So all of that is coming up next week right here on The World's Strongest. Until then, my friends, for Gordon Pepper, Jason Block, and everybody in 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
To us.